Happy Sabbath. What a subject we have today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Could you turn there? I want you to study it with me. I want you to think about what we're talking about today. Possibly something that we'll never stop talking about, ever. You know, love is so simple and yet so profound. We never come to the end of the discussions about love. There's so many different shades of meaning that cannot be adequately expressed in that one word, love. Just a little four-letter word, L-O-V-E. And it's said best, I believe, in chapter 13 here. And there was a reason for that to be stuck where it was, talking about spiritual gifts, and if you go be just above there, it's talking about that the church is made up of apostles and prophets and teachers and workers of miracles and healings and helps and administrations and varieties of tongues and all these things. All this stuff gets to be what a lot of people focus on. And Paul wants to bring it all back to reality and what's really the most important thing and why we exist. It's not for all those things, for teachers and apostles and prophets and miracles and gifts and administrations and varieties of tongues. It's not about that. Those things are byproducts, and those things are facilitators, and those are things that we have in the church that God provides so that we can work together in the 13th chapter of Corinthians. Without the 13th chapter, the rest of it means nothing. Look what he says, though I speak with the tongues. And you know, a lot of churches base a lot of stuff on tongues today. And it seems to have gotten an importance that it was never supposed to get in the scriptures in a lot of places. Oh, I can speak in tongues. Well, whoop-de-doo, so can I. We all speak in languages. But the thing is, let's not get off on tangents and gifts and operations and administrations. Let's get down to basics. Go, I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. When you hit a cymbal and you just whack it, it grates your teeth. Ever scrape your fingernails on a blackboard? If you don't have love, whatever you do is just like scraping your fingers on a blackboard. And it just grits on you. Because, and though I have the gift of prophecy, oh, some people like to prophesy. Some people like to play with prophecy. I like to have fun with it, as my class knows. But prophecy is a wonderful thing. And when you understand what God is trying to say through prophecy, you can be blessed and you can be prepared for things to come. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, some people think they have it all, but they have nothing, so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love. I am what? Nothing. Without love, we are empty shells. Everything is done for nothing. It's worth nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, that sounds like a pretty nice thing to do, don't you think? I don't have much to give. But if I gave it all away, gave it to the poor. But I didn't do it in the right attitude of love. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love seems to be very important here. There seems to be something about love or charity or having that attitude of service to others without looking for a reward. Isn't that what it is? Looking, what's in it for me? If you have that what's in it for me attitude, you don't have love. You're looking for something. There's an ulterior motive to your giving or your doing. Love suffers long. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be suffering all the time for a long, long time. That means you put up with a lot of nonsense from people you love. You take a lot. You bear a lot. Now, sometimes we have a low tolerance of nonsense. And sometimes we can take a whole truckload of you know what. You fill in the blank. And it seems to not even ruffle our feathers. Okay? It takes a lot and is kind. If you can endure a lot and still be kind, you're on the right track. Love does not envy. I don't care what you've got. I don't know what kind of car you have or house you have. I don't care. Good for you. You can have it. Bless your heart. I'm so glad you're prospering. Doesn't matter to me. I don't want it. It's yours. It does not envy. Listen to this. It does not parade itself. Do you know people who parade themselves? Does not parade themselves. That's sort of like vanity to me. Their clothes, their hair, the rings. I remember, when I think of somebody parading himself, I think of Liberace. Now, there's a man that liked to parade himself, didn't he? He was amusing, he was fun, and he didn't take himself seriously. And we shouldn't either. But there are people that are just like, look at me. Oh, look at me. Ain't I beautiful? Not talking about myself, I'm just saying some people say that. I look in the mirror and I know I'm not. Thank you. But they like to parade themselves. What else does it say here? Is not puffed up. Woo. Pay somebody a compliment and their head starts to swell. They got to scratch their ear over here. Oh, no, 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 no. Not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Oh, if you love, what excuse do you have for being rude to anybody? We can be so nice in here and then go, you know, like, I don't think any of us go to the restaurant after church, but in the other churches that I used to go to, as soon as church was out, zip over to McDonald's or one of those restaurants to eat, and I've seen the most rude behavior from Christians in restaurants. What are you like with the public? You can be so nice and so sweet in here, but what about over there where the people are that don't go to the church? You don't behave rudely. Sometimes some of us are stupid and behave stupidly, and it comes across as rude because we're ignorant. We can excuse some of that, but we know better. Does not behave rudely. What else does it say? Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Now, what's that mean? Does not seek its own. Mine! Mine, 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 mine. Gimme, 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 gimme. What's yours is mine and what's mine's my own. Is that nice? Is that nice, Marcus? No. We don't do that, do we? All the time. No. But sometimes we just get a little, that's mine. Oh, well. Thinks no evil. Okay, how many never had an evil thought today or yesterday or the day before? Doesn't think evil. No. But we need to work on that, by the way. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Do you enjoy looking at, reading about, listening to things that are kind of not good? I don't know. But sometimes we seem to take the delight in some things that maybe are not to be taken delight in. You know, I'll just leave it to your imagination. But we do not rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in truth. Now, truth sometimes is not flattering. You know, if you don't rejoice in truth, that makes you look bad, do you? When you figure out something about yourself that isn't so pretty or so good, usually it makes me sad, makes me want to cry. But some people enjoy being irritable, and some of these things they enjoy. They get some kind of a delight in irritating people. They do. Do you know anybody like that? I know one or two. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is all what love does. If you have genuine love, these are some things that you manifest in your life. Do you want to be someone who manifests love, who when they look at you, they say, oh, this person is a very loving person. Are you likable? Some people are very lovable, but not likable. Some people are easy to love, but hard to like. Does that make sense to you? You love them, but you just sometimes you just want to get away from them. They just bug you. You know? And those are the people that need your love the most. The people that irritate you are the ones that you need to work on to love them more. Don't you understand that? Don't you see that? The most unlovable people are the ones that need the love the most. And you are the one to do it. If they bug you, that means you've got to work on you so that you can love them. Oh. Yes. Yes. Jesus loved Judas, you know, dearly. He loved all his disciples. They were flawed individuals. They had character flaws. They were selfish. They jockeyed for power. They did terrible things. They were just so jealous of one another. I want to be first. I want to sit at the left hand. I want to sit at the right hand. I got the money, so that means he must love me the most. He trusts me with all this money. Well, when you got a position of trust, how do you handle it? Are you thinking of yourself, or are you thinking of others? But they were thinking of themselves, and Jesus had to straighten them all out. And one of the difficult ones was John, the apostle of love. Now, he wasn't born that way. He was one of the sons of thunder. He and James were going to rule the world right next to Jesus. Should we not call down fire from heaven to consume these cities? They rejected you. Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not right. So they had to spend some time with Jesus, and Jesus has to teach them, and Jesus has to teach us. We need to spend some time with Jesus. Let's look at him. Let's see how he loved so we can love like him. But they bear all things. Listen to this. Does not rejoice, rejoices at the truth, bears all things. Love never fails. Now, do we fail? Oh, yeah. Over and over and over we fail. We do things we shouldn't. We make mistakes. We forget to do the things we should. You know, and to know to do right and to do it not to you or to me, it is sin. So just wanting to do the right thing, which is a good thing, but not doing it, is sin. Wow. But love itself never fails. So therefore, we need to somehow get a supply of love, you know. Somehow get some infused into us. Somehow take an injection or drink or find some way to get full of love. How do we do that? Because if we don't have it in ourselves, we have to get it from somewhere. Well, we have to be born again, because the love of Christ cannot be in an old vessel. The vessel has to be changed. The container must be new so that new wine can come into it. So what's that container? It's your spirit. It's not your body. But it is how you think about things. Your attitude needs to change in order for Jesus to change you. The things that you love before you know Jesus become the things you hate. And then the things of God and Jesus and His will become the things that you love. Now that goes against nature, folks. Now some people have just these nice little natures and they're good no matter whether they're a Christian or they're not a Christian. It's just the way they are. Can you imagine somebody like that getting the Holy Spirit? They'd float above the ground. They wouldn't actually walk like human beings. But most of us need help with this love thing. We think we know what love is. We don't know anything about it. You get a little glimpse of it. You get a little understanding of it. But love is so profound and yet so simple. It escapes a lot of us. We look for love. We want to be loved. And we think somebody else has the answer for us. We're looking to a human being to get it. Doesn't work. You need to be full of love so that you will radiate love, so that you will attract people to you and you will infect them with that love. And then it just grows and grows and grows and grows. Don't go looking for love. Allow it to be expressed in your life. Find the spigot and drink deeply. Love is a wonderful thing, but it starts with this. It starts with you. It starts with attitude. I must somehow get rid of my selfishness and become unselfish. Well, that's a lifetime job, because we are so prone to be selfish. What's in it for me? And the most popular word in the sentences that we say is the word I. When you're talking, count the number of times you say I, or have somebody count them for you. How many times do you say I in a sentence? And you'll realize who you are obsessed with. All right, lover never fails, but whatever there are, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Oh yeah. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. All this stuff is going. It's temporary. We have been lent a space of time in which to learn these things and to experience these things and to grow in knowledge and all this. We have a limited amount of time, but how much time do we have to love? We got to fit that in somewhere. Or it could become the motivation for what everything we do. Now, I think that if we become beings of love, then our motives will be pure, and whatsoever we do will prosper. We are the sons of God. Do you know what God is? God is love. Are we His loving children? Do we love like He loves? We are just getting a limited tip of the iceberg understanding of what love is. When we realize that what Jesus did for us on the cross was the ultimate, was the epitome, was the greatest thing that could happen and did happen to the whole world, if only the world would understand that it really is real, it's true. He really did do this for us. He is real. He is alive. And He is resurrected. And He's waiting to come back for His loving children. And when we become like He is, that's when He's coming. We are on probation. We're waiting for Him to come, but He's waiting for us to be ready. He's going to give us more time, but we don't know how much more time that is. It could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next year, could be next month. It could be any time. And all He's waiting for is you and for me to love as He loved, to manifest that, to be glowing, to be flowing, to be growing, and to be shining for Him. And when we stand up and be what we are supposed to be, the world will come in droves wondering, who are these people? Where did they come from? Why haven't we noticed them before? Because they've been hiding in their little church and keeping it to themselves. Not me. We got to get out there and shine, folks. And it's a love light. Listen. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. All that we have, all this wonderful stuff that we know, it's only partial. We are only giving them a part of it. Now, we've learned a lot. We are built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and we have all this knowledge, and it's at our fingertips, and we can read it, and we can study it, but we are only understanding so little of it. And what Jesus wants us to do is to love like He loved. And by this the world knows that we are His disciples, that we have love one for another, that we begin to care about the business and the welfare of our brother and our sister. That's agape love. We don't need that lustful stuff, that porn AI. Brotherly love is a good thing. But agape puts the welfare of his brother or his sister above his own. For no ulterior motive. I am not good to you, or I don't give you something because I want something back. I just want you to have it because it's going to help you, and I love you. So when we come together, remember talking about parables about how Jesus fed his church loaves and fishes. The purpose of the preacher is to feed you out of the Word of God. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Where is the mouth of God? What is the mouth of God? It is as the word is declared from the mouth of an imperfect creature behind a pulpit, as it comes forth, if it is the word of God, the Holy Spirit anoints it, and it begins to bear fruit. As you receive it, as your heart receives it, as you allow it to germinate, as you begin to let it grow, you begin to manifest what the word has been planted in your heart for, and that is to reach the world. And go into the world, go into and preach the gospel to every creature. Your life is a written, living epistle to all men. Everybody in your sphere of influence needs what you have. You need to share it, and you need to give it to them freely. Whether they like it or not, you are God's ambassador. This is the embassy here, perhaps. While we are here on Sabbath morning, we are in the embassy, and as ambassadors, we are prepping ourselves to go out into that world and represent Christ. Oh yes, we're American citizens. Yes, wonderful country. But anyway, we are ambassadors of the heavenly Jerusalem. Not Washington, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. We have rooms, we have mansions prepared for us that we are heading toward, walking toward, marching toward, fighting toward, grappling our way toward. We want Jesus to come, but he says, wait now, I have people for you to reach. Look out there on the fields. They're white to harvest. And the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now, everybody wants to sit around the table and eat. And we get food week after week, and we stuff ourselves on the Word of God. But it doesn't do us any good if we don't share it. And love is like this. We need to begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to begin to love one another as he loved us. Now, I'm not through with this yet. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. This is a passing thing, folks. We are on a journey. Don't get too attached to this world because we're on our way out of here. We're loading up the ark. We're calling in, come. And we're having the people of Babylon come here rather than us go to Babylon. You know, the children of Israel were dragged off to Babylon. Well, we've left Babylon and we say, come out of Babylon. The three angels' message is, let's do the thing that he wants us to do. Let's tell the folks to get out of that Babylon, get on board, and let's get going. And how do we do that? Love that. Love those people. Show them what it is to be a Christian. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? You allow him to fill you. We need the resources of heaven to do the heavenly job that has been given to us. Well, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Here is the key. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became... It says a man here, but when I became an adult, I put away childish things. We haven't got time to play with the things of the world. We don't have time to dabble in this and dabble in that and experiment with this and experiment with that and get all these different devices and conveniences and toys which just tie us down. We need to set ourselves free from our possessions. I'm not telling you to come give me all your stuff. No. Devote your life to him, and if he requires it, then you give it to him. You know, you are the stewards. But the most important thing you have is love to give. And you cannot give it all away, because the more you give out, the more comes to you. The more you pump the well, the more comes. There's an endless supply of love in you if you will let it out. Oh, yes. For now, we see in a mirror. dimly. But then, when Jesus appears, it'll be face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. When we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we are supposed to be his reflection. We will reflect him. We will recognize one another when we see each other. He will see us, we will see him, and we will be together. And I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. I shall know him. He will know me. And now abide faith, which is a good thing. We got to have faith. Hope, that's another good thing. You got to have hope, folks. No matter, don't let anybody take your hope, your peace, your joy away from you. That is the thing. If we can stay united, the devil can't touch us. Oh, he can hit us, and he can knock us around, and he can slap us, and he can make life miserable for us. But together we can stand against him. For a threefold cord is not easily broken. Don't try to stand alone today, folks. That's what we're all for. To love you and be with you and to help you. And you help me, please. I need lots of help. But the greatest of these is... Do you get it? Are you with me? Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. We love you. We don't show it enough. I don't. But Lord, I want to be more like you every day. And I know that the resources are there, that your Holy Spirit was given to us to do just that, to put the love of Christ in our hearts so that we might be your children. Lord, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us, to saturate us, and to motivate us to good works. We need to win our soul, help human beings, our friends, our related relatives, all these people, Lord, we need to win to you somehow, some way. We can't do it without the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to get our motives pure. Help us to clear our hearts of iniquity that our prayers may not be hindered, Lord. We want to move your hand, Lord. So therefore we repent and we ask you to forgive us for our negligence, Lord, for our cold-heartedness, Lord, for our lukewarmness, Lord, for our indifference to the fate of our brothers and sisters. And help us not to have ulterior motives when we do good things for you. Fill us, we pray, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.